Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. It's good to have you aboard. We're going to get right in our continuation series, Searching for the Lost Children. We're going into the Word tonight. We're going to give you descriptive ideals about the framework mind of our Father. Looking into the hidden things, the things that's been kept secret down through the centuries of time. Well, you know, it's been 2,700 long years since Israel became what is known as a lost people. Now, how do we know they were lost? Well, 2,000 years ago, we were told that they were lost. We know through history, and of course, we have built the foundation of our teaching series in the book of Kings, as we were talking about the times that the Father would prophesy in the 2 Kings chapter 17, the reasons for the exile of the 10 tribes of the northern kingdom of Israel. Now, let me just briefly outline to you who these 10 tribes are. We've got Reuben, and Simeon, and Levi, and Zebulun, Issachar, Dan, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, and the tribe of Ephraim, and Manasseh. These are considered the two half-tribes, which made a whole tribe, but it made up what we declare now to be the 13 tribes. And the tribe of Benjamin, I told you last week that it was almost completely destroyed for its evil practices of sodomy by the 10 northern tribes. Now, Judah, who was a house separate from the 10 northern tribes, therefore we have what is known as the two houses of Israel. Now, let me briefly explain to you, and of course, if you would go to the 48th chapter of the book of Genesis and the 49th chapter, you'll see the division of prophecies given by the great prophet, our father Jacob, to these tribes. Now, we know that Manasseh, the half tribe, would receive a great blessing. This is indicated in the 48th chapter of Genesis. And so then, we believe that Manasseh became what is known today as the Brit-ish, the House of Ish people, as a central staging place, if you will, a central descriptive word that we could use would be central, that they became the owls that was prophesied by Jeremiah afar off. Now, these owls were a place that would be a haven for the ships and for the journeymen as this great exodus. And, ladies and gentlemen, we know of the exodus of approximately 3 to 4 million people that came out of Egypt to establish the territories of what we know as ancient Israel, the land that was described in descriptive form in the 12th and the 15th chapters of the book of Genesis by the Almighty Yahweh to our father Abraham as a place where his seed would spawn. And so they did. They multiplied. And once this multiplication became so large, then there had to be a remedy for a greater prophecy. Now, When I talk about a greater prophecy, I'm talking about the mind of the Father having in mind a people that would be scattered. So he took the 10 northern tribes, and here it's described in 2 Kings chapter 17. I would that you go in and read the whole chapter to relate to the history and the expulsion of the 10 tribes of the house of Israel. Under this, there was the disbursement because they turned not from their evil ways to keep his commandments. Now, the disbursement was to happen that they would be exiled, and we know that the Assyrians conquered the land of Galilee, Samaria, and conquered the 10 tribes. Now, it is very strange that they didn't go south of that dividing line between the house of Ephraim and the house of Judah. They only swept away the 10 northern tribes, and only Judah, with the miscegenation of Benjamin, a remnant, left in the land. Isn't that strange? How the Father could surgically cut off 10 of these tribes and remove them out of the land. Well, it's described in detail in the Bible just how that the Father brought this about when he gave these reasons for their dispersal, that they had failed to honor him. In reality, a deeper reason was because that in order for Yahweh's word to multiply and expand to the level that he intended it to do so, he would have to himself blind his people. Now, this is very strange, and God works in very mysterious ways. God had to blind his people, Israel, and scatter them abroad to where they would become a covenant people without identity, a blessed people without identity. Now, there are what we call waymarks, if you will, Dan marks and things of this nature, that Dan was noted for leaving his mark, as it does a serpent in the dust leaving a trail. And that's what Dan was noted or compared to, that he would be a serpent by the way, meaning that he would travel into great regions of the earth. And as you very well know, Dan and his sons went far north into the Scandinavian Danish countries, and now the great Danish peoples of the north, at the North Pole, down into Europe, and now down into America, this disbursement at the top of the world, these great peoples, these mariners, Dan abode in ships, and so they carried themselves to the farthest regions of the earth and conquered and subdued and turned everywhere they went into a land of paradise with the expressed blessings of a blind people. Now, why? Well, we'll get into the whys and the particulars of the mind of God. Who can search the mind of God? Who have known the mind of God? Them that have drawn from the breast, raised up like calves in the stall, weaned from the breast, and become meat eaters that can share in the deeper recesses of the great mind of God. The Bible said that the Spirit searches the deep things of God. God literally had a plan for physical Israel. And Israel physically exists today, dispersed in many countries. It's amazing. Like I said, if you look at Denmark, you will find the tribe of Dan. So it's evident that on the compass of Numbers chapter 2 in the sacred circle, where we use that as a symbol of worship, the altar laid out in a complete, if you will, a transposed, if you go back to the garden, everything that is out is in, and everything that is in is out, everything is up is down, and so it's a direct paradox of opposites that we look for. So a mirrored reflection of the mind of God. You see what he does on the surface. But the great minds, the deep minds, will search beyond what God did at a surface level to comprehend what he did in a spiritual level, that we might understand the great mind of God that has been hidden from the wise and the prudent. Now, Israel would have a new covenant. It's amazing that God would give them a covenant in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, and it is recorded in the 16th through 18th verses here, how God really brought forth his covenant people, and his covenant to a people, by the way, and kept them blind as to who they were. Only a remnant, the Bible says, would understand. Only a remnant would comprehend. And that's for identity purposes. Because the Bible says, as long as the sun and the moon remains, Israel, my people. Now, the Bible is written to, for, and about his people. I proved to you in the last sermon teaching lesson that we did on the disbursement of the house of Israel, that God chose Israel as his people. Israel. And everybody said, well, that's the Jews. No. I beg your pardon. That is not the house of Judah. The house of Israel was a separate group of individuals that would lose their identity. You've heard that the Jews the Jews were blind. God's chosen people, the Jews, were blind. That's not true. Nowhere does it say the Jews were blind. It says Israel was blind and couldn't see beyond the end of their nose. And that's recorded in the 11th chapter of the book of Romans, verses 25 and 26, by the way, when there shall in the last days become an awakening spirit sweep across the land, and this covenant people will return back to God. Listen to me as I read in Hebrews 10. I will start again, as I said, in the 16th verse. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Oh, isn't that amazing? I will put my laws into the heart. This is a heart known, heartfelt truth. When you hear the truth. Now, the Bible says in the 10th chapter of the book of John, my sheep know not the voice of a stranger. So it is embedded in every heart of every Israelite, the grounding of the truth. Now, you'll never hear the complete truth until you hear the rest of the story. And the rest of the story, which has been hidden for approximately 2,520 years, and only the last couple of hundred years, amazing, we're 2,700 years down the road from the disbursement by the Assyrians of this great group known as the Caucasian race. These are the peoples that became the Brits, the Scots, the Irish, the Germans, the Danish, and the Dutch, and we go on and on as we march through the countries where the disbursement of the 10 tribes took themselves. Now, I'll give you an example here and some of the symbols, even nations. I'm telling you, we're rich in history here. And we're rich in history in Great Britain. We're rich in history in Denmark. Every one of these countries have tribal instincts or tribal designs, if you will, a standard that came over with them because the father gave them these tribal standards, and in genetically, if you will, although they have been blind and lost, there has been a history that has been denied the people of the house of Israel because of their blindness. They have pursued other things. They went in search of conquering frontiers, but now we have no more wonderful, strange, exotic, exciting lands or mountains to climb, or lands to conquer, or peoples to conquer. This great Caucasian flood that came up across the Caucasus Mountains into Europe and into the Scandinavian countries and into the top of the earth at the pole, even down to the western area of where that we have what we believe is the greatest nation that God ever intended to be upon the earth. Now, I'm talking about a blessed nation of the covenant birthright people, or the descendants of, that would become the fulfillment of the prophetic word of God, that the birthright would go to the sons of Joseph. And ladies and gentlemen, the greatest two nations that's ever been in the history, as we have kept history, going back to the time of the beginning as we understand it until this present day, no two nations have ever dominated the earth like Great Britain and the United States of America. Now, they have been tied really together in spite of themselves trying to separate or to be at odds, or, you know, we've war, we've fought. You see, the history of Israel was that they would fight among themselves when there was no one else to fight. Now, if you give them a unified reason for coming against the foe, the Bible says that Joseph and Manasseh, Ephraim and Manasseh, will together with the horns of Joseph, the ram, the bull, they will push their enemies, as Moses looked and described, to the ends of the earth. There is no power militarily or politically that can stand the onslaught of a unified country of Great Britain and America. Even today, we proved that. And many times, maybe we proved this wrongly by going into what we believe to be the land of the Arabs, another covenant people that we have no business. We don't believe we're over there through a spiritual enlightenment. I think we're over there through spiritual blindness, and we are in a quagmire. We're stuck, if you will, in another Vietnam, and we're serving the cause of a few people that calls themselves Jews and are not. If you go to the book of Revelation, chapter 2, there is a very, very unique and a very privileged scripture written in the Bible, and very few people ever quote it. They'll always quote, well, that's God's chosen people when you're talking about the Jews. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there is what is known today upon the earth, those that call themselves Jews and have masqueraded and have won the sympathies of the world by convincing the world that they're God's chosen people, when in reality, God's chosen people is the Israelites, not Judah particularly. The 12 tribes are compassed about with the wrapped covenant promises that God's blessing is extended to the house of Joseph as the birthright tribe, not the house of Judah. Here is where the deception, this is where the Bible said they shall deceive the very elect. And we have more Christians, quote-unquote Christians, supporting, upholding, if you will, an illegitimate birth in the sandbox of what we now know as Palestine, where a troublesome burden will arise because of our error and our blindness. We do it blindly, by the way. The political system has gone so corrupt and has gotten so far in darkness and out of hand that they do these things because of the power or the influence of what we call the root of all evil, and that's money. When you jerk up the root of evil, you'll find money is the reason that evil is there to start with. Now, let me give you this again. We've given it before. I'd like to remind you that 3% of the people own 97% of the wealth of the earth. That is not fair. That is not equal. That is not disbursement according to the blessings and the promises of God. A few, politically speaking, have gathered up the riches and the gold and the silver of this earth. They've hid it in the dungeons of the giant manipulative bank systems of the Federal Reserve and other nations' currencies as well as they control. And as Rothschild, that famous Jew that has a compound in Great Britain, in London, England, said, I care not who makes the laws as long as I have the monetary means of using money for power. Power overrides laws. Laws can be broken and laws can be circumvented and laws can be destroyed through the power of wealth. Money answers all things, not the law. See, the law is made to be broken. God's law was no exception. Israel broke it and became a blinded people. Samson broke God's law by revealing the source of his strength. We have let the Philistine, if you will, the Assyrian, the wicked ones, come in and steal our blessing and carry Israel off as a type of blind Samson, and most of Israel is displayed in the characteristics of Samson, the blind man, with no eyes to see, a strong body. He could actually turn the wheel of the great gristmill, the stones that ground the corn. He could actually turn that with the power of his own body, and they didn't even need a beast of burden, which usually you used an elephant or horses or donkeys or a team thereof to turn the gristmill. Samson was used by the enemy to actually grind the produce or the bread of the land to be eaten by the enemy. And ladies and gentlemen, we have gathered it into a bag with holes. We have sown much and reaped little in these days because of our failure to recognize our times and our appointments and our destiny as a great and a powerful people of the house of Israel. When will it end? When you begin to return back to Almighty God. When you take it upon yourself to study to yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, and coming into captivity with your wayward thoughts. You know, the Bible said there's a way that seems right, but the end thereof is death. I used to be in darkness. You can't walk when you don't have light. Now, if you follow those that walk in darkness, there is a ditch appointment for you, because sooner or later, those that lead you in darkness will themselves stumble and fall as doth the wicked. Now, woe to them that are deceived by the power of the wicked, or the blindness of riches, as blind Samson is now on the mortgage treadmill, supporting the international Canaanite usury system, which is illegal, which was framed or forced into the Constitution with illegal means, never ratified, by the way, and brought about during the recess of Congress in the Christmas seasons, and when that happened, we became slaves, as did blind Samson, to a very few people upon the earth that have blinded our eyes. And it's recorded again, as I said, in the book of Revelations, chapter 2, verse 9, as we read again, listen to the scripture, "I know your works. I know your works," he said, "and the tribulation and poverty." Blind Samson, tribulation. We are struggling under the enormous tax burden. We have literally spent billions of dollars to go into Iraq to kill God's covenant people, the Arab, who sits on vast reserves of oil. That's why that the rich are using the armies of America and Great Britain as we support our troops to go into harm's way and to conquer a people, to take their natural resources. While there is political finagling going on in the press, and most of the press is controlled by an exclusive same 3% that own 97% of the wealth, by the way, and so then they can actually steer the people's mind by suggestion or by indoctrination or by press releases, and there's no weapon mightier than the pen. And when the pen is in the hand of the enemy to distort and to modify the truth or change the truth into a lie, having people mostly as blind Samson, a type, blind Samson grinded at the mill of deceit, cranking out the usury notes, if you will, the Federal Reserve, unauthorized. You see, our just weights and measurements in the Bible is gold and silver. That is God's intended way for us to trade and have currency without usury. But along came a worthless piece of paper printed by not the United States government, but the Federal Reserve has the power to print these notes. Ladies and gentlemen, it's very, very, very crafty how the enemy has wiggled himself into these seats of authority and power through money. They have bought our senators of the past, our congressmen. They have become corrupted through filthy lucre, sold out our birthright and our very inheritance from out from under our feet, sent our young men into harm's way to die for the wealth of a few, for control of a many. I know your works, your tribulation, and your poverty. I know the blasphemy of them which say they're Jews and are not, but are out of the synagogue of Satan. These are the ones in control today. Oh yeah, there's good people in our government. We're not trying to indict our government as an evil, corrupt, Babylonian system, which most definitely in the system of the magic of transformation of filthy lucre and the chase of the almighty dollar, when in God we trust, they so nobly ride it upon the nets of usury. When God says you should not charge your brother usury, and yet usury of a loan of $2,000 of a minimum return of $50 a month will take you over 7 months to pay, because you must pay the usury first as it compounds over the note, and you will pay off over $7,500 for a $2,000 promissory note with a usury sticker on it. Now, you multiply that into homes where most mortgages are carried on the homes, the beautiful homes that we live in. Over 90% of them are mortgaged through usury and will never, repeat, never, never, never be paid for. Because usury is an unending curse and a sin to a people. God forbid. Victims almost of the circumstances beyond our control by licensing and by charging for the services of the government. And I know the scripture, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar, and so on and so forth. But let me tell you, as a nation of people, when we crank out these usury notes, and the United States government itself becomes the greatest barrier, which is the people, a representative of the people, it becomes the greatest barrier of the power of the Federal Reserve notes to pay usury, and we have an enormous national debt, if you will, an albatross, a millstone around the neck of this nation and others as well. This is not the only nation. This is the exception, because we are the highlighted nation, should be the glorious nation, the blessed nation. But the Bible had warned us that if we don't guard the walls, if we don't sound the alarm, if we don't keep God's covenants and God's commandments, that God would turn us over to the hand of the enemy and the oppressor, and we would be grinding as did blind Samson at the wheel of usury and deceit, and that we would be victims or subjects to a few that holds power over the many. It ought not to be. Now, God's plan for physical Israel, what about it? Well, it's written in all the prophetic utterances that Israel's identity would be in a national aspect. It was to become a blessing to all the nations of the earth. It was to have a new home. Isn't that amazing? Nobody will ever tell you that. But a few, you'll hear this message from a few. Most of it is in confused or on confused lips, and they themselves are in search of or in need of large sums of money to further the operational cost of this giant monster that's created to crank out even that which seems right will be taken from the lips of the wicked. Israel is to be gathered from remote countries and coast and islands. Israel is to colonialize and spread abroad. Israel is to find her own inheritance afar off, her promises to Almighty God to be as the sands of the sea and to come to a new wilderness wherein no axe had been laid, a raw wilderness such as America, the great fertile plains of the Midwest, and the great flowing mountains of the Appalachians and the Rockies and the mighty Mississippi River that had its tributaries and drained the middle basin of the fertile farmlands of America, which America is the most prosperous and blessed people or land for a people that are blind. Isn't it amazing that we could stay blind so long? Now, Benjamin, and their disbursement, became the sons of Iceland, the Scandinavian Benjamites, as their disbursement. We know that Reuben settled in France. We know that Simeon settled in what is known as the Eastern Bloc countries of Czechoslovakia, and in the Balkans and in those areas where this great furious tribe of Simeon went to. We know that the tribe of Judah, which was removed in 586, by the way, the other house, completing the removal of the house of Israel. The 12 tribes completely, 13 if you count Manasseh, the half tribe, these 12 tribes were dispersed among the isles, meaning they were to be carried away to new lands and to form new countries. And these countries will be blessed, although the identity of its people was to remain a secret until the last days, when there shall come out of Zion a deliverer and turn Jacob from his ungodliness. And therefore, God's knowledge will become once again the pursuit of the righteous that seek to grow from the breast of truth and revelation. Remember, these things are hidden from the eyes of the wicked, but revealed to the humble. The tribe of Zebulun into Holland, and the tribe of Issachar, the Swiss, Dutch, and, as I said, Dan, Denmark, Gad, Sweden, and in the regions of Spain and France, Asher, in the country of Scotland and Ireland, in a disbursement into the upper Scandinavian countries, Naphtali, the Norwegians, and Ephraim would be the United States of America, and Manasseh would be a Great Britain. So therefore, the disbursement of all of the 12 sons that God dispersed, and he told you exactly where they would go in Numbers chapter 2, as he laid out a detailed plan of the disbursement. In other words, how they were to camp. Now, this camp was not only in the land of Palestine, but became a national symbol of God's divine covenant wisdom that he would scatter the power of the holy people throughout the whole earth. And in the last days, God would anoint the regathering of the mind of Israel. And most people say, well, see, the Jews are going back to their homeland. Ladies and gentlemen, God promised that Israel would never return back to Palestine. Never. Never to return, he said. I will take my people, Israel, never, never to return. And that is in 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 10. And we gave you that. Now, we want you to particularly remember that our text is coming for the reasons of the house of Israel's disbursement and exile, is to be found in 2 Kings chapter 17. The whole chapter, if you will, is dedicated to the reasons why, when and where, and how the disbursement would become about, and that Israel would no longer be a people, but that her identity would be forgotten as she would become a lost people. And tonight, our message is searching for the lost children of the house of Israel. Now, when Christ came 2,000 years ago, as I said, in the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew, chapter 10 and verse 5 and 6, we have quoted this passage of Scripture to you to be a benchmark for you, a hallmark, an anchor, a flagship, a foundation, that you might go there and hook up and disperse your thoughts into the Scriptures, as we're trying to do tonight for you, to paint you in a broad base measure of revelation coming to you in such a short time. We'll have 1 hour here on WWCR 5070. We're live tonight for you, and we're able to take your calls. If you'll call us after the show, we won't take any calls until after the show, but we will be here available after the show to give us a call. Talk with us and give us your ideals about the house of Israel. And if you know anything about it, why, just throw your 2 cents worth in. And if you don't, why, we'll talk about it anyway, and we'll encourage you. We've got information that you can order, and we need your help to support us here on The Shepherd's Call. This is Pastor Buddy that you're listening to tonight, and we're live and direct on 5070. And call a friend. Tell them we're on there every Sunday night at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time with this continuation message of searching for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, it's also noted in the 15th chapter of the book of Matthew, Christ again refers that he's only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, isn't that strange? He said, I'm only sent to them, and yet, is there any scriptural references where Christ traveled to a people where he sent his apostles? You know, he told them in the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew, he said, go not to the Gentiles. And most people think that there's only two classes of people on the earth. That's the Jews and the Gentiles. That's not true. Oh, yes, I know that some of the New Testament alludes to that fact, but it's all misconstrued. It's mistranslated. The word Gentile simply is translated nation. So when they interchangeably put the heathen in the place of a Gentile and classified it as the lost sheep, that's not true, because Christ defeats that reasoning in the 10th chapter here of the book of Matthew. And let me read it to you again. For this, he said, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Now, that's Strong's number 1484. If you'd like to look it up, look at it in the Greek and see what it means. It's badly mistranslated in the King James Bible and others as well. But it gives us a misconception. It starts a precedent of thought that locks us in and enslaves us to a belief system that could be utterly false. You can believe a lie, and by the time you can believe a seem right way. There is a way that seemeth right, but the end of it. You gotta comprehend. You gotta pray. You gotta fast. You gotta say. You gotta earn your biblically inspired, in-depth reasoning ability, if you have any. If you ain't, you're going to be lost. Now, his people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Now, how are you going to hear without a preacher? And a preacher certainly can't preach unless he's sent. If he's sent by God Almighty to bring forth the living Word of God, that preacher will not have any respect to filthy lucre. He will preach only for the truth and nothing but the truth, so help him and his soul. You see, Paul said, woe is me if I fail to declare the whole counsel. Now, most ministers in the bell box, I call them the bell box, those with a steeple and a shadow, well, the vagina and the penis of the bell cup worship of Ishtar on Easter, and all these other paganistic ways, December the 25th, and so on and so forth, all these are pagan. They came out of pagan religion. They were structured and designed by a people that will deceive the very elect. Two-thirds of the people that are going to be deceived on this planet are white people. I'm going to repeat that. It may startle you just a little bit. And for those of you that think that you are a white supremacist, this ought to put the starch in the right place between your straddle here and do a little rubbing on your thought process. Two-thirds of the white race will be destroyed along with the wicked. Now, why would that be, Pastor Buddy? Simply because they have no comprehensible understanding. They've wandered out of the way blind, and if the blind leave the blind, they're going to the ditch. Now, we know that in genetic applications, there is a pure race of God's perfectly descended sons upon the earth. Now, that's his sheep. That's the covenant people. You see, only one-third will come through the fire. Two-thirds will be destroyed. One-third remaining will stand before the presence of God. And the Bible said God knows them that are his. God has got a name specifically attached to everyone upon this planet, be he male or female, friend or foe, God keeps a reckoning reason, and the Bible said, be not deceived, for God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's time to get into the covenant. It's time to search yourself out. What? Know you not that Christ is in you, lest or except you be a reprobate? Would you want to be turned over to a reprobated mind? Would you want to wander so far in darkness and compromise with tradition so far, and you have a right to join yourself to Christ, and instead you join yourself to Baal? What concord hath Christ with Baal? What agreement hath the temple of God with a temple of Satan? You can't serve two masters. And unless you're willing to suffer with him, you won't reign with him. Unless you're willing to come out of her, my people, and take upon you the covenant that was given for all of the sheep that will hear his voice, and a stranger they will not follow, God's people will be proven by his word. That's how you prove a true blue. That's how that you prove a sheep, is that you preach the word of God with nothing lacking. And that sheep, if true blue, will hear the word of God, and a stranger he will not follow. I know now. Listen. Straight is the way, and narrow is the gate, and a few there be that find it. Isaiah cried out against the whole house of Israel, except Yahweh had left us a seed, only a seed, a remnant is all that remains. All of Israel would have been destroyed except God, with his grace and mercy, turned the light on in enough minds of his collective consciousness and Christ consciousness. And that's what the word means. When I see Christ, I see you. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the kingdom in you. Not the kingdom out of it. Most people's waiting on a kingdom to come. If you don't have that kingdom in you now, you're hurting. If that kingdom can't be transposed into your inner being with thoughts and with servitude, if you don't love him here and serve him here and own up to him here, you ain't going to do it there. If you wouldn't serve him here, you wouldn't serve him there. If you didn't love him here, you wouldn't love him there. If you love the world here, you'd love the world there. You would be like Lot's wife. You'd miss something out of Sodom. If God came down and destroyed this mess, it'd be something out of you'd miss. You'd miss your mortgage payments. You'd miss grinding blindly at the mill, paying your mortgage payments. That's what you'd miss. You'd miss your two-car garage. You'd miss the little bank account, the little nest egg, the little bonds, the little IRAs that you have established in the earth. You've heaped up your treasures for the last days. And the Bible said they shall cast their silver and gold into the streets, and it won't deliver them. Are you listening tonight, ladies and gentlemen? This is Pastor Buddy. I have used up all of my time tonight and really enjoyed being with you. If you'd like to write us, let me give you quickly my address. We need to hear from you. It encourages us to just to get a simple letter. You don't have to put an offering in it. If you don't have anything to put in, you can't. If you have and don't put it in, you're not sincere. If you're just trying to bum your way through life and you're cheaper than dirt, you know, the dirt ain't cheap. Our Heavenly Father Yahweh owns it all, owns all the silver and gold and the cattle on the thousand hills. And he promised that his people would pay tithes. Jacob, when he was leaning on his staff, so weak and blind with cataracts and everything else, it was ailing his physical body. His mind was still strong, and he looked for a city to come, as did Abraham and his father Isaac before him. These men stumbled not and staggered not at the word of faith. Faith is a seed sown. If you want to help the ministry and the gospel, get your faith behind your action, and the ABCs of faith is A is action, B is belief, and C is confidence. So if you've got an actionable belief and confidence that you know who you are, and that you are wanting to be part of the great awakening that's sweeping across the land. You don't need to miss this great explosion. There will be pilgrims and strangers raised up in the last days that is never set in a bail box, that will come out of the institutions and will be anointed with a great power and the mind of Christ and love not their lives to death. Some will be delivered into jail. They will be a great persecution in the last days because of the giant explosion of truth that will come forth, and Satan will open his mouth and like a flood will pour out a body of people to fight and try to suppress this revelation of truth that's coming forth in the last days. We've been deceived for over 2,500 years. It's time for the house of Jacob, the true blues, the house of the blood, the white Adamic, Caucasian race from the son of Seth, Noah's son, descended and had a covenant that would carry that covenant right into the gates of heaven and would claim ownership with the authority of Christ himself, becoming a descended bloodline being of the true house of Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Pastor Buddy. Write me at Post Office Box 2284. That's 2284. Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip 37824. Again, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, if you'd like to call me tonight and chat with me after the broadcast, I'll be here at the studio to take your call. Just simply call area code 423-626-2172. Let's talk about you tonight. Praise Yahweh. Where do you stand? Are you committed? Do you want to help push the burden of the revelation of God's Word over the hump of the mountains that we have to climb? Mountains of tradition, mountains of deceit, walls of indifference, things that have been built by traditions for years and years. It's hard to overcome these things and bring the truth in. That's Pastor Buddy. You can contact me at Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824, and you can call me tonight at area code 423-626-2172. We've got information. If you'd send me $10 love offering, please help me with your letters of inquiry. When you write and you don't have anything to send, I'll be glad to send it out. Dr. Gary's reminded me that information that's not worth paying for is not worth receiving. And so if it's freely given, we expect you to freely give something back into a ministry to help us. So we just sow in faith and hope and trust that our message will get to a few people. We're not looking for the many. We are not the many. We're the few. We're looking for the few. And the few that will be willing to shoulder some of the burden of the expense of radio time and materials and things that we send out all over that costs a lot of money. Dr. Gary and Dr. Jack is out thousands of dollars of years. A year supporting my broadcast here on WWCR 507. I would like to give you their number tonight, 1-888-281-7320. That's Dr. Jack, 1-888-281-7320. Now you can call Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439. Tell them Pastor Buddy saying you heard Pastor Buddy on the Shepherd's Call on WWCR 5070, and you'd like to contribute support to the ministry and the broadcast. That would be deeply appreciated. Now, Dr. Gary and both Dr. Jack have items for sale. If you'd like to buy Miracle 2 soap, if you'd like to buy coconut oil, some of the best oil on the earth that has been suppressed and hidden by the very enemy that gives you canola oil, and as a health item. And ladies and gentlemen, it's come with a rapeseed oil, and it will kill cattle and things that eat it. So you don't need it. Get the coconut oil, the number one oil, cooking oil in the world. A great secret is coconut oil. Well, got to get out of here, Pastor Buddy, and I'll see you next Sunday night on the Shepherd's Call. Until then, remember, my address is Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. My telephone number here at the studio tonight, give me a call. That is 423-626-2172. Until I see you next Sunday night, this is Pastor Buddy speaking for all of us here at the Shepherd's Call Radio Network. We'll see you next Sunday night. Yahweh bless you.